Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to take a look at the world of science. Did you know that this is National Chemistry Week? If you're going to have National Chemistry Week, you have to have Bassam Shakashiri come by. Bassam, professor of chemistry at the UW-Madison. He's got a few experiments that we can do today, and he's going to do them. We're going to talk about why the leaves fade from green to those vibrant oranges and reds. And certainly take your questions as well. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. But Sam, I've got a little cold going here that just literally started this morning.
Well, it's, you know, with the weather changes, it's not only the leaves that are affected. You know, some of us with our allergies are affected. I hope you recover quickly, Larry. It's always a pleasure to be with you and with our listening audience. It is National Chemistry Week.
Yeah.
All week. It started yesterday. And today, Larry, today is Mole Day, M-O-L-E.
Yeah.
Mole is a scientific chemical term that we use for certain quantities. A teacher from Prairie du Chien about 25, almost 26 years ago or so, came up with the idea of celebrating Mole Day because one of the scientific quantitative measurements that we use has the number in it 6.08 times 10 to the 23, raised to the power 23. And so he said at 6.02 a.m., in the 10th month of the year, which is October, not the 10th month, the 10th month of the year, but the 23rd day. So between 6.02 a.m. and 6.02 p.m., today is National Mole Day. And as a tribute to that, Larry, I brought you a little mole right here for you.
Oh, I've got to grab this mole.
That's yours. Maybe Emily will enjoy it with you. This is to mark what is called Avogadro's number, which in chemistry we used as a reference to the number of particles of materials in one mole of a substance. But that's getting too technical. National Chemistry Week is a celebration of the beautiful chemical world that we live in. You know, we're all curious.
Damn.
We ask questions. Why do the leaves change color in the fall? Why do they change color in the fall, Larry? Do you want to get into that?
You know, I want to wait because Dave has got a question about it. And so I'm going to pull him in.
We ask all kinds of other questions. Why is the sky blue? Well, not on a day like today, but why is the sky blue? Why is it that when wind blows on a body of water, we see what we call white caps? And is the color of the white caps in any way related to the color of the stuff that floats up in the sky? How does the microwave oven work? We're full of questions. We're curious. We live in a beautiful, complex world of chemicals. Everything around us is made of chemicals. The food that we eat is a mixture of chemicals.
Yeah.
The air that we breathe is a mixture of usually good chemicals. Our clothes are made of chemicals. Our own bodies are made of chemicals. What goes on inside our bodies is nothing but a series of biochemical reactions. The medicine that we take when we are sick is a mixture of chemicals. Larry?
We're swimming in chemicals.
Yes. Larry, the drugs that some people very stupidly experiment with are chemicals.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to learn about chemicals, their safe handling, their benefits, their potential hazards, so we enjoy the beautiful, complex world that we live in. This is the 30th anniversary of National Chemistry Week. Actually, it started out as National Chemistry Day in 1987. It's also, you know, the centennial of Wisconsin Public Television. Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yes, it is.
Right? And all year long, you've been marking and celebrating. These celebrations are times for reflection and also times to look forward. So National Chemistry Week all week long. You know what I say, Larry? Every week is National Chemistry Week.
I can believe that. You know what? Dave in Wisconsin Rapids does have a question about leaves, and so let's just go there. Dave, hi.
Well, good morning, Larry. Appreciate this opportunity, and good morning to your guest. Here in Wisconsin Rapids area and out near a hunting shack out near Pittsville, we noticed that some of the trees started turning, it seemed, quite early because we weren't getting the regular, you know, fall weather patterns with cooler nights and so.
Ah, we lost Dave. He had a question about the colors of the leaves, and some leaves are kind of bright, brown and dry up, and maybe you want to comment on that.
Yes, yes. The green color that we see most of the year is from chlorophyll. In the fall, when the temperature goes down and the amount of sunlight goes down.
Yeah, sunlight's a big thing.
That's a big factor. And the humidity in the air changes. Then these giant chlorophyll factories begin to shut down. And no more chlorophyll is being produced, not as much anyway. The chlorophyll has been masking all these colors that we see now, these vivid, beautiful yellow and red colors. But when the changes are prolonged, as has been the case this year, because it's been a bit warmer than normal in the fall, then the cycle is disrupted, and we see the brown colors that we have on the leaves begin to fall and so on. But, you know, in the past week or so, the colors have really been vivid, at least
in southern Wisconsin, yeah.
In southern Wisconsin, yes, yes.
I walked over from my one office to the radio station, and there's an autumn purple white ash tree just past Agriculture Hall on the campus that is just spectacular right now.
It's beautiful. The beauty of nature and the scientific understanding that we develop in appreciation of this beauty is just so satisfying. And this is why we insist in our classrooms and outside the classrooms to address questions that people have, wondering why these transformations are taking place. And there are technical answers. And you know, Larry, on my website, we have a specific page dedicated to the chemistry of autumn colors. And I invite everyone to visit my website. It's scifun.org. scifun.org, scifun.org, and it is a source of a lot of information for people who are interested in a variety of transformations that we enjoy. I have other information there, too. I invite people to go there.
Jessica, the lady that cleans my teeth, she was cleaning my teeth last week, and she was talking about the experiments she does with her young child, and I said, you should go to Bassam Shakashiri's website, scifun.org, and she said, oh, I will do that, and I was telling her also about some of the other things you do during the course of the year that we'll talk about today.
And these experiments are on the first page of the website. In the upper left corner, you can click on experiments you can do at home. And these are safe experiments. They have been tested. People write us about how enjoyable they are. So please visit our website and enjoy science, enjoy doing fun experiments with all members of the family.
You did bring some sort of Halloween-oriented science experiments. By the way, if you'd like to join in while Bassam puts on some gloves and gets into his fire-retardant suit and everything, we'll invite your questions and comments as we go along here. What are you seeing as the leaves change? Are you planning on taking part in the Wisconsin Science Festival? We'll be talking about that as well with him. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page, and likely we'll post some photos up on our Facebook page. Jill tells me we're having a little problem right now with it, but we'll get some photos anyway, and we'll see what's going on. What have you got for us today here?
Are you ready to do experiments, Larry?
Sure, let's do an experiment.
You notice I have my goggles on because it's a safety rule. And you do the play-by-play description. So what do you see in front of...
Well, I have a beaker. You have a beaker that I would say is about a half a quart beaker, or a liter beaker.
What's in it?
It's a liquid, and it's colored a very deep purple.
All right, and then I take... Well, with my left hand, wearing my gloves, small chunks of dry ice, and I put them in there.
And look at them boil over. We got all kinds of nice fog almost.
It is fog. Condensed water vapor. What else do you see?
And now the color of the material is changing from purple to a gold almost color.
Yes, these color changes indicate to us that a chemical reaction has taken place. It's a beautiful display.
Oh, it is beautiful.
Of the reaction between carbon dioxide gas, which comes from the dry ice. Dry ice is solid carbon dioxide, and it changes into a gas. We see the bubbles, the carbon dioxide bubbles. It reacts with the water that had in it a dye, and the dye is sensitive to how acidic or basic the liquid is. We all know that carbonated beverages have in them carbon dioxide, and they are slightly acidic. So the blue color that we had in the liquid was the color under basic conditions. Now the solution has become more acidic, and it is yellow. That's a telltale that the reaction has taken place. Now, watch what I do now. I'm going to take some more dry ice and put them in another beaker inside what? You're doing
You got a pumpkin here, a carved pumpkin. Oh, and here comes the fog right out of the eyes and the mouth of the pumpkin.
bubble, toil and trouble.
bubble, toil and trouble. Well, we're going to be posting these photos up on Facebook for sure. You're going to, and it's kind of cooler. You know, I got to tell you one little side story. When I was a little kid, I lived on the farm with my family, and we had an ice cream man that would come in a truck, and he would bring ice cream, and to keep it cold, he would have it in dry ice, and my dad would always let my brothers and I take the dry ice, and we would run down to the creek that was right next to our farm, and we'd get to pour the dry ice into the water in the creek and watch it bubble up. And it was always a kind of a really fun thing to do.
Dry ice has to be handled very carefully because it is a very cold solid.
Yes.
It's at minus 78 degrees Celsius, and that's why I wear gloves to protect my hands from frostbite. And what you see is the formation of fog. Enjoy the upcoming Halloween celebrations next week. But, Larry, back for a second.
Yeah.
The National Chemistry Week. The theme this year is the chemistry of rocks and minerals.
Chemistry of rocks and minerals.
Yes.
And okay.
So I have a question for you. Can you name a city or a town in Wisconsin whose name is related to minerals?
Mineral Point.
That
came right to mind.
That's a good one. Is there another one? Maybe people in the listening audience would like to call in and suggest names, not only from Wisconsin, but from around the country, from around the world. Larry, there's a country whose name is related to the name of a chemical element. It's a big country. It has a population of more than 40 million people. Can you think of this country?
Boy, you've got me on the spot here. I'm going to have to ponder that.
Pondering is good. Thinking about questions is good. Coming up with satisfactory responses is also good. Let me give you a hint. This country is in the Southern Hemisphere.
Okay, the Southern Hemisphere. Well, listen, I'll tell you what. Let's see if we've got a listener who knows. Give us a call with your answer to that at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. I'd love to hear from you. And we'll just take a quick little break here, and we'll be back with Bassam Shakashiri, professor of chemistry at the UW-Madison. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network. Michelle Good reads from Girl Waits with Gun by Amy Stewart at 12:30 today. So we're looking forward to that. Right now, we're having a lot of fun with Bassam Shakashiri during National Chemistry Week, and we are talking about all things science and science experiments. He just posed a question, and Bassam, the question was, what country has, well, let's go to Dave. Let's go to Robert in Middleton. What country has a name
that relates to a mineral, a chemical element?
That relates to a chemical element. Robert in Middleton.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
I believe that, I think that's Argentina, and that's why on the periodic table, Ag is for silver.
Silver, yes, it is Argentina. Correct,
oh,
Robert.
Good job, Robert.
Do you know that?
Thank you.
Robert, are you still there?
Yeah, he's still there.
Yeah.
Robert, in Wisconsin, there is a town named Garnet. Did you know that?
And I did not know that.
And there's so many of them around the United States. There is Manganese, Minnesota. I like the way that sounds. There is Marble, Pennsylvania. There's Gold Run, Colorado. There are over 50 such names, and it's just
a fun thing.
It's a fun thing to say.
Robert, thanks. Appreciate it. Well, there's Rockton, Illinois. Would that count?
I don't know. You tell me.
Ted in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Ted.
Hey there. I was just going to say Galena, but is that in Illinois or is there Galena, Wisconsin?
Well, that's a very good question, because when I've asked this question before in different groups, there was someone who lives near the state line, and he asked the same question you asked. Is it Galena, Illinois or Galena, Wisconsin?
It's Galena, Illinois.
For sure, I know it's Galena, Illinois.
Yeah, because I know there was a lot of lead, I guess the chemical symbol, that PB, plumbum, whatever, but that was produced in Wisconsin quite a lot, right?
Yeah.
In the Mineral Point area.
Yes, yes.
As a matter of fact.
Here's another one. Antimony, Utah.
Antimony?
Yeah. Calcium, New York. Did I say Carbon, Wyoming already? Carbon. Zinc, Arkansas.
Would another one be telluride?
There you go. That's the element tellurium, yes.
Ah.
And there's sodium, Wyoming.
I tell you what.
It has to do with the mining, like silver or gold, I believe. I don't know.
Yeah. Ted, thank you so much. Appreciate the call. Steve's got a good one coming up here. Steve, hi.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, now you folks working down in the tropics forget that we have beautiful scenic Iron County up here.
Got a whole county.
The whole county.
Iron County. You don't get more mineral than iron, can you?
And there's Iron Mountain, too, right? There's
Iron Mountain, Michigan.
There,
Yeah. Yeah, so that these names, you know, permeate our culture, and it's very interesting to make those different connections. Some of the elements actually that were discovered in Europe are named after towns and cities in Europe. For example, erbium and ytterbium are named after places in Sweden.
Oh.
So there, it's part of our culture to learn about minerals, how they are safely extracted from from the earth, how we safely dispose of cyanides that are often used to extract elements such as gold and so on. So this might make a nice dinner conversation with the family, with kids of all ages, thinking about making connections between names of gems, minerals. How about zirconite? That's from zirconium.
Well, there we go. Steve, Steve, thank you.
Sulfur, Louisiana.
Oh, there's another good one. We've got, here comes Nancy with something. We'll get her on because she's got a good one as well.
What do you have, Nancy?
Let's get her on here first. I don't know if Jill's got her up and ready to go or not. Maybe not. Yeah, let's see. Let's see if we can do it right now. No, we can't get her right yet. So, now we can get her up on our computer screen. Nancy, hi.
Hi. Hey, how about Copper Falls?
You got it. The how about Copper Falls, yes.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yes, yes. Now, there is a new mineral that was discovered in Iowa. We haven't heard from anybody in Iowa today, right?
No.
Actually, the mineral is named after Iowa, after the name of the state.
Oh!
Yes, this was discovered, I don't know, some not too long ago. It's called Iowite.
Iowite?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, Copper Falls is a perfect name for Copper Falls.
Yes.
I can tell you that. Nancy, thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, bye. I appreciate it. And Kathy on Facebook says, how about red granite, Wisconsin?
Red granite. There we go. Yes.
There's another. Did you have that one on your list?
I had garnet.
Oh, you had garnet.
Yes.
You didn't have
I have
granite.
More on my list here, but, you know, everybody should develop their own list and validate this list by having conversations with others about it. It's just a fun thing to do. And more importantly is to learn about some of the properties of these chemicals and what they're used for.
Well, I bet we could learn a lot about that at the Wisconsin Science Festival. That's coming up November 2nd through the 5th. And Wisconsin Public Radio, by the way, full disclosure, we're a sponsor of the event, let's put it that way.
And so is the Wisconsin Initiative for Science Literacy.
Yeah.
I am very proud and very pleased that the Science Festival, the Wisconsin Science Festival, is now in its 7th year. I made the suggestion for the concept and the idea back in 2009 in an article I wrote in the publication of the Wisconsin Academy, and it took 2 years before it got it going. It's so successful. It's all over the state. It's not just in Madison.
Right.
And the website for the Wisconsin Science Festival shows a full listing of activities and programs that go on beginning the 2nd of November and running through the 5th of November all over the state. Everyone in our listening audience should take full advantage of these different activities and engage in hands-on, minds-on programs. They're of interest for, as I say, for kids of all ages. And we celebrate the joy of science, Larry. We celebrate the connections between science and the arts. And that is what the Wisconsin Science Festival is about. And I'm looking forward to hearing that even more people are going to participate this year than they have done in the past. I have the privilege of doing the closing program on Sunday afternoon, the 5th of November, along with members of the Madison Youth Choirs.
We're going to be doing that. That's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be joyful. We're going to do science experiments, and the youngsters are going to sing.
Well, you know, Jessica, the gal I was talking about earlier, I also mentioned to her your Christmas, Once Upon a Christmas Cheery in the Land of Shaka Shiri, and that she should sign up, try and get tickets for that event. And so I was reminded of it when you said the choir was going to be joining you on November 5th, because you often have in recent years featured music along with the experiments that you do in that wonderful event.
Well, thank you for mentioning that, Larry. This year, the first weekend in December, we will mark the 48th annual Once Upon a Christmas Cheery in the Lab of Shaka Shiri. We always tie the anniversary to the chemical element whose atomic number corresponds to the anniversary, and it's element 48, and that maybe we should ask the listening audience. No, I think they'll go look it up. We'll just tell them what it is. This year, it's cadmium. Cadmium. And so we have a program that is almost fully produced now. Wisconsin Public Television will be recording it and airing it sometime around Christmas time. We do this to a live audience three times, the first weekend in December. And Larry, I have to tell you that almost all the tickets have been issued.
No.
Yes, we have.
Well, it's a good thing and a bad thing.
It's a good thing. We do it three times to an audience of about 350 each time, and we have about fewer than 50 tickets left. They're free. We issue the tickets to control the size of the crowd. We don't want someone to come in and not be able to get in. Get a seat. So. So look on my website for the dates of airtime on Wisconsin Public Television, coming up later in December, and we have special surprises this year in addition to our usual Bucky Badger and Santa Claus. We have other guests that are going to be joining us. So it's going to be a fun event again.
Bob in Pewaukee is up. Let's go there. Bob, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hello. And I just want to say thank you to Professor Shakashiri. I graduated Madison 1981. I taught high school geology and earth science. He was my chemistry professor, and I hope that I did a good job teaching high school and kept it interesting like he always did for chemistry. So I just wanted to say thank you and to make sure people know what a great treasure he is to UW-Madison.
Oh, Bob, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Bob. It's always a pleasure to hear from former students, and I run into them every now and then, but especially hearing from Bob, a teacher himself, on the importance of communicating chemistry, communicating science, not only in the classroom, Larry, but also outside the classroom, as you and I have been doing on your program now for
a long time. I don't even know how many years.
Over 25 years.
Oh.
I want to not only thank you, Larry, for what you do, but congratulate you on the centennial of Wisconsin Public Radio. And you've been here about almost
50.
Half, 50, there you go, 50, yeah. Congratulations and thank you. I know you have other guests that address science issues. It's a tribute to the University of Wisconsin. It's a tribute to you, Larry, for having so many guests that discuss with the listening audience important issues in our society. Thank you, Larry.
Well, thank you. And just to note that Ryan on Facebook says, don't forget about Lead Mine, Wisconsin.
I think we started something here, right?
I didn't know about, you know, I know a lot of towns in this state, but Lead Mine, I'm not, I can guess where it's located, but I had not heard that town name.
While we're still at it, Larry, here's another connection. Our mascot at UW-Madison is...
Bucky Badger, of course.
Bucky Badger. And we are known as the Badger State. What's the origin of the name? And does it relate to anything that we kind of been talking about?
Absolutely. The lead mining, or the mining in the Mineral Point area, those miners would... the early miners actually dug caves and lived in... holes in the ground, and were, I think, kind of called badgers. That was a sort of a nickname for it.
That was a nickname. That's the origin of it.
So, I know I've learned a couple of things over the years, but and you know what? There's something that you started. You all are always launching a one program or another. You've got, before we go back to the phone, you've launched a program called Science in Motion.
Science in Motion is a program that we have now aimed at fostering appreciation of science in our communities. Through the generosity of a donor and contributions from UW-Madison, we have this program that reaches out to different parts of the state.
Yeah.
Actually, we would like to reach out to groups, civic groups, schools, different organizations within a 500-mile radius from Wisconsin. In fact, last week we made our maiden voyage outside the state of Wisconsin. We went to Illinois. People interested in learning more about our Science in Motion program should visit the website, scifun.org, scifun.org. We have a staff that is eager to visit with teachers, perhaps do some workshops for teachers, with teachers, have public events like the Sciences Fund event. There are small fees associated with this, but all of this is negotiable. And it is a sincere attempt on my part to improve the connectivity between UW-Madison and the citizens of Wisconsin. And I have to tell you, we are right now overwhelmed with requests. We're able to meet some of them. This Saturday, October 28th, the Science is Fun truck will be at the Westside Community Market in Madison, Wisconsin. We've been doing this throughout the summer in different locations. So people in the listening audience interested in learning more about what we might be able to offer and to help make arrangements, they should visit us on the website.
At scifund.org. Hey, let's go to John in Highland next. John, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to tell you about two very grave omissions in your chemical
okay.
Or elemental table. In South America, there's Columbia, hence Columbium, which used to be the old name for niobium, a rare metal, I believe. And then I once called up and you said it's okay to use the word Illinois in your on your phone?
Sure.
On your call. Okay. On your show, I mean. big omission, Carbondale, Illinois.
Yes, Carbondale, Illinois, yes. And there was an element that was thought to have been discovered and was called Illenium for a while, but turned out not to be turned out to be something that had been discovered before. Yes, I think we got something going here, Larry, right?
I think you'll have them all covered if you work for a few hours.
Did you know there's lead, South Dakota?
Lead, South Dakota.
Yes, and there's quartz. What do you think quartz is? It's in Montana.
Oh.
Quartz, Montana.
I'll probably think of a few more after I hang up.
Thanks, John.
Call 911.
Thanks so much. What about Kristen on Facebook says, Iron Belt, Wisconsin.
There you go. All kinds of connections we can make. And we need to learn more about the uses of iron, the uses and the safe handling of its extraction. It's not just iron, all the elements that we're talking about. This is an illustration of how chemists, such as myself, celebrate National Chemistry Week through public engagement. And once again, Larry, I want to thank you for the opportunity to share the joy of discovery and the joy of sharing with you and with your listening audience.
Well, Sherry and Madison's got some more to add here. Let's go there. Hi, Sherry.
Hi. Before we moved to Wisconsin, I lived in Idaho. And Idaho is a big mining state, and there are lots of cities there. We have Silver City, Lead Ore, Galena, and then there's Soda Springs. And then related also would be Atomic City and Placerville.
Oh, my goodness.
Sherry?
Yeah.
I have one for you from Idaho you did not mention.
Okay.
Cobalt.
Cobalt. Oh, you're right. Yes.
Cobalt, Idaho.
Cobalt, Idaho.
I was thinking, too, that there's a garnet in Idaho, but I can't can't remember where it was, and I couldn't find it on the map, so
well,
I didn't verify it.
Sherry, when you and others come up with more names, you know, you can go to my website at the bottom of the page. You can go with scifun.org, scifun.org. At the bottom of the page, send me an email message and tell me what other names you have come up. And we will post them. We will post them all.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, Sherry. Thanks a lot for calling. Well, you know, all these anniversaries. This is 60 years since you arrived in the United States.
Larry?
And 48, I think, on the faculty.
60 years and 6 weeks ago, my father, my mother, my two younger sisters, and I arrived in the United States in Boston. My father had come as a visiting professor to Harvard School of Public Health for 1 year. We experienced wonderful hospitality, great opportunities. I can't tell you how grateful I am and my family members are for having been so well received. I speak to you and to others in the listening audience as an immigrant. This is the land of opportunity, as we say.
Yeah.
To those who are born in the United States, I say congratulations. But please do not take it for granted. Always affirm your commitment to the ideals for which America continues to exist. And let us be true to these ideals, and let us live those ideals. Let us be respectful in every interaction we have with each other. We may not respect somebody's ideas. We may not respect some of the things that they say, but we should be respectful to our fellow human beings, regardless of where they were born and where they live now. The element of respect is essential to successful human discourse. I can't tell you how moved I was when I was sworn in as a U.S. citizen here in Madison. On May 24th, 1974, Judge Doyle, the late Judge Doyle, the father of our former governor, swore me in along with others, and he said several things to us. But the one thing that sticks with me, the one thing I repeat all the time, he said, enjoy your freedoms.
Yeah.
It's a very special place that we belong to here, a sense of belonging, the sense of identity that we have here, and all of us, native-born and immigrants, belong to a country. We are the custodians of what happens in this country. Let us all benefit from what America has to offer. And Larry, thank you for bringing this up. And to you, I say thank you. And to America, I say thank you, America, for having me in the United States.
Bassam, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. I always enjoy talking with you. I know our listeners love hearing from you as well. And I hope that as you listen to Bassam talk, you could hear the emotion and how proud he is to be a U.S. Citizen. And the work that he has done over the years has certainly been amazing, and his contributions have been immense. Great to have him along. Please go to scifun.org and take a look at all of the wonderful science things that you will find on his website. Well, coming up, we might even talk a little more about a mole day coming up, because Mike Bino from Our Wisconsin Magazine has a little piece on mole day in his latest edition of his publication. That next on the Ideas Network.